If this was perfect, it wouldn't be.
Hello, this is Pedro de Permit, and thank you for listening to the Scout Podcast. I know I sure as hell would never listen to it, but enjoy it while it lasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Sam Bailey with Southern Culture on the Fly and the Scoffcast. We are here at the Atlanta Fly Fishing Show, or the Fly Fishing Show in Atlanta, however you want to say it. We are sitting here today with Brownie Lyles and Stokes Lyles from Blue Ridge Boat Works, and we're going to talk to them about the cool things they're doing here in the Southeast. We've got Alan Broyhill also with us, who will be leading this.
I thought you were going to leave me out.
I thought about it. You're going to make me introduce myself. I probably need you.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you guys being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. I self-admittedly, we were talking yesterday, I don't know a lot about your boats, and I'm excited to learn some stuff. I've been Blue Ridge Boat Works adjacent for a while because I've had so many friends test the boats out and heard some really good stuff, and I've been really curious. I mean, I've seen you at several shows over the past few years, and just haven't got a lot of info, and I'm looking forward to learning a lot about it. I've heard nothing but good things. So I want to start off with, you guys are related, yeah?
Father-son.
Father-son. So father-son boat company out of the Southeast. How did this whole thing come about? Because your boat's a little different than anything I've ever seen. Where did that come from?
Well, so I guided for 25 years on the Watauga in South Halston.
Okay.
And I had the opportunity in 2015 to get in a Boulder Boat Works boat.
Now, I've been in one of those.
Yep.
Okay.
So I have a whitewater kayaking background. All my kids are whitewater kayakers as well. So I'm familiar with running plastic into rocks.
Okay.
So I had the chance to get in that boat and rode it for a couple of weeks one summer and was just convinced that the material was it. I didn't necessarily love the design or thought that I could make something better or different.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it got started.
Okay.
And then, you know, I spent 25 years in a rower seat and kind of spent a bunch of time thinking, I know what I want in the boat. I know what I don't want in the boat. I know what it's like to get clients in and out of a boat. I know what it's like to work out of a boat on a daily basis. And then I wanted that durability. So I've said this before. I've been cursed my entire adult life of usually thinking I can do something better or myself. And I think Stokes has a little bit of that as well. And so that's how we got started.
You got it for 25 years?
Yes.
Trout?
Trout and smallmouth.
Trout and smallmouth.
Yeah.
Where did you originally grow up at? You grew up fly fishing and...
No, I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
And grew up hunting mostly, not necessarily fishing a bunch. Went to school in Arizona and then made my way to California. And then I was kind of a migrant kayak instructor around. And then moved to Western North Carolina and was to start a kayak school. And it quickly morphed. My sister gave me a fly rod for Christmas. I got obsessed, quit kayaking, and started guiding.
Isn't that how that always starts?
It's crazy.
Like, you get a fly rod. Mine was I saw a dude looking at a fly fishing forum in a class in high school. It's like always that one moment you can trace it back to.
Right.
That's really cool. And Stokes, you were telling me, I found this really hilarious. You're more fly fishing adjacent because you love the paddle sports.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of time on the water, not as much fishing as you might expect, but yeah, very familiar with running rivers and reading water, but and boats, big time into boats.
Yeah, and as your dad would say, running plastic boats into rocks.
For sure. Yeah, that makes sense to us. Of plastic is the water material for sure.
Yeah.
So is that how you learned to do your plastic welding, fixing your boats that you tear up?
You know, not it really started with this idea in 2017. And we, you know, had never even heard of plastic welding before that. Kayaks are usually like roto molded, so this was a completely new venture. But we just bought a welder and welded a bunch of test corners and took a sledgehammer to it and figured out what stuck. And
you know, unlike fixing your vacuum cleaner, there are very few videos online about plastic welding. So we did a ton of scratching our heads and trying to figure out how to do it. And it's pretty amazing. Stokes is really the welder. I can do it. What we found is it's not terribly difficult to get a structural weld. It's really difficult to have a structural, pretty, presentable weld.
With plastic and specific?
Yes.
Yeah, I tried to weld the bottom of a kayak one time, and it held, but it was
but it
not
looks like
pretty.
A mess, right, yeah.
It's like spooged a bunch of putty on there.
I had a friend that did a little bit of that on the side, and he expressed the same feeling towards it because the people that were buying things wanted stuff to look really nice. He was doing it with vehicles for some reason, and I can say that looking at this boat, the welds are beautiful.
Yeah, they are.
Good job.
Definitely. Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Where are you guys located out of now?
So we live on the in Watauga, Tennessee. We live just a mile away from the river. I've been running Watauga River Lodge for the last 18 years.
And I've floated by that so many times and had absolutely no idea.
Right. we've been doing that as a family for all these years. And then we live just a mile up the street and have a house and big barn and shop. And
I was going to say, so that's where the shop's at too.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And as far as the progression of this, when did you guys first present this to Stokes? When did this idea, what year was it that this came into your head that you wanted to do this?
So 15 is when I rode that summer. I spent a bunch of time trying to understand and figure out what the material was and where to get it.
Okay.
I mean, literally a year and a half. There was no one to call and ask that question to, and I didn't call Boulder and say, hey, what are y'all building your boats out of?
Right.
But we did figure it out. And then Stokes had been living in Colorado for a long time, and at some point, and I don't really remember exactly when,
I think it was spring of 2017.
I said, come home and let's.
Yeah, you called me and said, I'm going to try to do this boat thing, and do you want to be involved? And I was getting a little burnt out on the ski bum life, and decided to come back to Tennessee and give it a go.
So you guys been working through this, working to this point for 10 years, basically.
Yeah. Just about. We took a hiatus.
We took a break. We had a crazy family situation. I have three boys. My middle son, his little brother, had a really tough car wreck. And it caused us to take a 2.5-year break.
And that was right before COVID. So then, it was a double whammy of delay.
Sure,
it was a double whammy, and then there were a couple of people. There were a million reasons not to start it up again, and just as many reasons to keep going. But we were unsure, and Stokes had actually gone back to Colorado at that point. And then here's the crazy cool thing, a random phone call from Andy Toohey, who founded Boulder Boat Works, who had sold the business at that point, just called me one day out of the blue and was like, hey, my name's Andy Toohey, and I fanboyed him and was like, I know who you are, man. And we had this great long conversation, and he was like, man, you got something cool going, and you should keep going. You should keep doing it.
Okay.
And he was asking me, he's like, are you going to start that back up? And I was like, well, I want to, but, I've got a situation. Well, whatever. Just I got another business, and I got other kids, and life was moving on. And but then we did. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So he was one of the great encouragers. There's a guy, Matt Ippoliti, who guides in the Southeast a little bit. He goes to the Delaware and then goes to Colorado every summer. And he was also one of the ones that was like, keep building them, or at least build me one if you're going to quit.
Okay. And, that's always a good sign that you have something going on,
Bryce. Well, that's right. And it doesn't take a whole lot to encourage me.
to try and do it better.
Yeah.
Well, there's no better motivator when you're down and out a little bit and you're not sure what you want to do, and somebody that you think is somebody big in that arena, and they're like, hey, man, we love what you're doing. Keep it going, start it back up. I mean, that's one of the biggest motivators there is. So.
It was huge. Yeah. And as I know you guys know, because you're operating a business here and with Scoff, but yeah, it's easy to get frustrated. And is this worth it? And is this working? And,
oh, yeah.
We're not making enough money and all those things. And yet you think you got a good idea and you need that encouragement. And the notion of doing this with Stokes, I grew up with some friends that had family businesses that I always was like, super cool. They get to work with their dad, and I didn't necessarily do that with my own dad. So I was excited to do that with Stokes.
That is special.
And yeah, it is. That's
hopefully.
And we've always liked building stuff together. Brownie's a great carpenter, and so we've, always had little side projects building stuff in the shop together, and always enjoyed that.
I dragged Stokes to a lot of job sites in the early days of not being a busy enough guy, and he was a little kid, and took him on a lot of job sites for sure.
That's awesome.
So talk to me a little bit about the actual material we're looking at, because we've kind of alluded to it several times. You talked about Boulder Boat Works. They were a notable plastic boat that is still around. They're out of Out West. But what material is this, and why this material?
So it's a high-density polyethylene, and specifically a very high molecular weight VHMW, very abrasion-resistant.
We got the engineer talking here.
Yeah, that's right, the plastic expert. And I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I have worked with plastic now for, coming up on 8 years, and so it's super abrasion resistant, impact resistant, dirt crazy durable. The it's got a UV inhibitor in it.
Okay.
So it's really built to last and take abuse, which makes for a great boat.
I mean, this is the stuff that big jet boat companies are lining the bottoms of their aluminum jet boats with to keep them, in the rivers and keep from getting hurt. So
oh, no shit.
They're literally drilling holes in their aluminum boats and putting this, maybe not exactly what y'all are using, but the same basic stuff.
That's
to
right.
To sure. Make their jet boats relatively indestructible, right? And they're banging into all kinds of crazy stuff. So this thing's built out of it all the way. I mean, it's basically indestructible.
Yeah,
indestructible.
The material originated actually for lining dump truck beds and coal chutes, so
yeah,
made
really.
To take abuse.
That's still who's buying most of it.
Yeah.
The manufacturer has been a little bit fascinated with what we're doing because they're not sold it to anybody doing this thus far. Well,
in my other life away from Scoff, the company I used to work for, we actually sold this to rock quarries for their crushers and their sand screws in truck beds and stuff like that. Some of them use steel, but a lot of them are using this stuff. We used to sell a lot of it and had a manufacturer that was – sometimes it was hard to get, though. I know. So has that been a struggle for you guys finding material sometimes?
Yeah, the initial order or the more recent big order – took a long time. It was kind of on the back end of COVID, and I think we ended up waiting 8 months for that.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's all special order, so we get special order dimension stuff, and then we get a special order color. So that usually makes us buy a bigger quantity than we can really afford, but we have been able to pull it off a couple times. We have waited. I believe since we've made the last order has doubled their production facility, so I think we're going to have a much easier time on this next order in terms of getting it. Yeah, we initially we certainly didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
We had a design hull-wise that was really kind of based on what we saw out there in the rest of the drift boat world. Based on me being in a boat a whole bunch as well.
Yeah. 25 years worth at least.
Right. And then interior-wise, all that. But then in terms of putting the boat together and making sure it was durable, it was really all a guess at first. You know, we think this is going to work. And so we beat the snot out of the first couple of boats.
Okay.
And then we sold, I think, boat number four to a really great guy over on the South Holston, Big Sam Dennis, and this last year. And Sam's a big man.
I was going to say, he's a little guy, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so we thought, you know, if anybody is going to destroy this thing, it'll be Sam. You know, he's guiding all the time. So anyway, initially it was all a guess. Like, we think it's going to work. And, you know, now we're, you know, what, 7 years deep. And I recently reached out to Sam and said, is there anything wrong with your boat? And he was like, nothing. And I said, how many days you think you got on it, Sam? And he is like, over 1,000 know, low water, guiding. South Holston, beating it up, tearing it up.
That's some edgy rocks in that river.
Yeah. Tons of edgy rocks. So we were pleased with that. We'd seen it ourselves, but it was.
Yeah.
You say that, and I listened to somebody talking, I believe it was yesterday, and they were talking about going through a certain stretch. And they were talking about, and they're a guide, and they were talking about going through it, banging around, bang, bang, boom, bam, came through the end of it, and they're like, man. And all of a sudden, here comes Sam and his, nothing, just right through it.
Sliding right through.
Well, I've learned the hard way, like, how slippery this stuff is. It's actually caused me to kind of run rivers in a little bit of a different way, as opposed to, you know, pinballing down and taking it on the chine, which you still do some. You can also kind of ride up on rocks and just slide off of them. And then I learned the hard way, like, you don't really pull it up on the beach to get out to use the restroom or eat lunch without dropping anchor, because it'll slide in the back in the water.
Did you have one get away from you?
We were eating. There's a little spot up on the top of the Watauga, and everybody calls it the Donkey Island, because there's a donkey running around over there. And we were eating lunch, and there's a bunch of boats, and we're all standing there shooting the bull with our clients, and somebody's like, is that your boat? And I look out there, and it's floating down the river, and I ran a swam for it.
I was going to say, what'd you do? Did you get swimming? Yeah.
It's the only thing you can do, isn't it?
That's it.
Yeah. It's
a rescue. So is this, you said you get this stuff in mass quantities. This is your special order color. Is it coming in flat sheets, and you're bending? Because this, the boat, we'll talk a little bit more about dimensions and stuff, everybody, but, like, it's got a curve to it. Are you bending that, holding it, and welding it? Stokes?
Yeah, so we have a form. We have a profile table that shapes the hull of the boat to the rocker profile. And then we have a plug that is, you know, the shape of the sidewalls.
Okay.
And has tabs all down the top of it. So then we put the sidewall up against it, flip the tabs down, hold it in place, and do that first weld on the outside. And then the plug comes out, and we start welding it together and putting pieces in, and basically just like a big puzzle.
That big plug is hanging on the ceiling, so we lay that hull piece down on the profile table, drop the plug off the ceiling onto the profile table, weld those sidewalls on, and then pop it back out, and then Stokes goes to welding.
So the material is fairly malleable, like, it'll move just a little bit when you're putting it together. And is that one thing that helps with sliding over the rocks and everything, kind of like what you're talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. It surprises a lot of people when they first feel it or row it. You know, it's definitely got a lot of give, which helps with the durability and helps, like you said, getting over rocks.
Yeah.
We were sliding this one off the table yesterday or a few days ago, and the whole boat's twisting as it's coming off the table, and it's kind of bizarre, but.
Huh.
Well, the material also, you know, expands and contracts with heat and cold.
Yeah, for sure.
So one of the issues that some of the jet boat people are having is they're attaching it to an aluminum boat, which does not have that same expansion and contraction rate. So sometimes it's problematic. But the fact that the whole thing is plastic, we're not having any issues. So it's all growing and shrinking. I can't remember what the real number is, but we've seen the length of the boat grow like 3/4 of an inch in a day. So you pull out of your garage at 7 a.m. and it's 60 degrees. And then, you know, by 4 p.m, it's been sitting out in the sun, it's 85, and it'll actually pull a different number.
And because the welds are plastic, it just does the same thing with it, right?
Yeah, that's right. It all grows and shrinks together. And
nice.
We knock on plastic. We have not torn a boat up. We have not broken a boat.
Wow.
Now, it's not that it's not possible, but sure. We haven't done it.
Yeah. Well, and that's been my experience with them. Like I said, I was kind of Bluersburg Works adjacent. Because my buddy was saying that you guys went and floated a really bony, I think it was super low that day, stretch near where I live in Brevard with Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was, like, just blown away compared to the raft that he usually runs, which you were in behind them.
That's right, rowing a
camera.
With a camera,
yeah, camera crew. And that you guys were just sliding over things. And I know exactly the shoals that he was talking about.
Right.
And I'm like, I get out and walk the boat around this spot in the flow that you guys were floating it at.
It was fun. I didn't know Chris that well at that point, but it was fun because I was behind him in this with the camera boat in his raft.
Yeah.
And I saw there was a little bony rapid he was about to go through. Yeah. And I could see him. What I looked like, I thought he was about to get out of the boat, and I think he was.
We do. We always get out and we hang left.
Yes.
There's a log. We kind of slide left, and the shoal's on that right, and it's pretty much even, and there's one little bucket.
That's right. So I yelled up to him. I was like, hey, don't get out. Just give it a couple strokes, and you'll pinball through. And he looked around at me and did it, and just kind of pinball and slid through there. It was cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was blown away that was his description of it. And believe me, he's really good at messing stuff up. He's really good at breaking stuff. Should have seen his last raft, his first raft even. Yeah, that's hilarious. So as far as the manufacturing goes, you guys are in Eastern Tennessee. You were talking a little bit earlier how important that is to you and the people that you have building it, including your son, and the people that are using your boats. What does it mean for you to be localized in that particular area, that particular fishery, to get your boats out there?
Well, it's my home water, and it's grown dramatically since I started. But I know a ton of the guides, and friends with everybody there, more or less. And it definitely, and we've sold a bunch of boats locally, and that feels really good. And, you know, when we hadn't sold a bunch of boats locally, I was all freaking out because I was like, man, if I can't sell boats to my local bunch, we've done something wrong here. And then that's happened. It's a big deal. It feels like a big deal to me. You know, all the boat manufacturers are, outside of one up in Michigan, everybody's out west, and I'm sure that they all have some decent customer service going. But if you have a problem with your boat, you got to get out west.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we are the southeastern manufacturer, and we want to take care of everybody that's got our boats. If you got one, we're right here.
Yeah.
And I think anybody that's had one so far can attest to the fact that we want to take care of the folks that have gotten excited about our boat and bought one of our boats. And and it's a big deal to me to do this with Stokes. And you know, we don't always agree, and we don't work the same hours.
You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
You know, I'm an old man.
We can work it out right here.
I'm an old man who can't sleep anymore, and I'm up early, and Stokes can work late, and I can't, you know, after 4 o'clock, my brain doesn't work anymore. And,
yeah.
So we figured that out. I mean, I was frustrated in the beginning. It's like, what the hell? It's 9 o'clock. I've been in the shop for 3 hours. And
there was a long time where kind of we were doing it all together, and a lot of it kind of relied on two people doing it. You know, you needed an extra set of hands, so we kind of needed to work the same hours, which is a little tricky. Now we've got it to a good place where I can kind of go in there on my own schedule and weld away. There's a handful of pieces that require an extra set of hands, but for the most part I kind of do it all solo, and which helps with that. That's for sure.
There's a big shift for us. We found some guys here in North Georgia that are plastic fabricators, and they certainly know more about plastic fabrication than we do. And we figured a whole bunch of it out since then. But what they have is the ability to CAD and CNC cut the material. So the first eight boats we built were all cut out by hand.
Wow.
So there's 70 different pieces of plastic in the boat.
Wow.
And we would cut them out just as any carpenter might with a jigsaw and a router and a template. And then, I don't know when it was, 21 or something, 22.
Yeah, 21, 22.
Okay.
We spent the money and the time and the effort to CAD the entire boat. So what used to take us 2.5-3 days to cut a boat out takes about 4 hours now.
Oh, that's huge.
I mean, it's a game changer.
Big time.
For real.
And there was nothing more frustrating than spending all day working on a piece and then one slip and ruined that day's shot.
Oh, man.
Ruined.
I bet. Over. That, wow. 70 pieces, too. That's a lot of room for error.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there were some discouraging days in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, to the degree that we were like, are we going to make it? Or, you know, or I'm not. You know, because you kind of know the back end of what you can charge for a boat. And we're also trying to, I mean, I built a guide boat. I built a boat that I wanted to work out of.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of realize, like, there's a top end that you can really expect to get from folks that are buying your boat. So if you work backwards into that and you cut out 2.5 days of work, you're much more likely to get there.
Huge on the bottom line.
Yeah, it is definitely. What I mean, you've come through your process in getting your process to where it is now, where hopefully you want it. And there's probably some tweaks you'll do in the future as well. And you said it used to take you, you know, that amount of time to cut out a boat, and now it takes 4 hours. How long is your build process from start to finish when you start one?
So we've been getting material cut kind of in bulk. Well, I'll go down to Georgia and work with the. I actually worked in that plastic fabrication shop for about a year and a half, which is where I really learned more about you know, all the things I didn't know about plastic welding. And so I'll go down there a couple times or 3 or 4 times a year and cut 6 boats worth of plastic and bring that back up to our shop. And then it's about 2 weeks to build a boat.
Nice.
From start to finish.
That's good.
A little bit of an uncomfortable pace.
Yeah, three's a little more comfortable.
Three's a better number. Yeah. You know, especially if it's in the middle of guide season or trout season.
Right, yeah. And that's like just putting it together for 5 days a week, still taking a couple of days off. Through
that's
not
right.
Not 7 days a week, 3 weeks worth. Okay.
Nice. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a crazy, we figured out the process on a piece-by-piece basis, and I wouldn't say we as much as Stokes has. He's figured out how to be a manufacturer as opposed to dad and son little – mom and pop boat business kind of thing. Not that we are a mom and pop boat business, but
for sure.
But Stokes has figured out how to manufacture it efficiently, which is very cool.
Yeah, I came from a restaurant background. I worked in kitchens for a bunch of years in my ski bum days, and managing kitchens, and so the efficiency and how to do things, you know, in the quickest and best way possible has always kind of been the way I thought about it. And so, yeah, it's been fun to get it really dialed in and efficient to where we can crank them out.
Yeah, so let's talk about the actual dimensions and stuff here, because that's really interesting. How long is this thing? How wide? I mean, you built a boat that is got a ton of space in it. I'm just visually talking to you, everybody that can't see this thing right now, and super open profile, which I personally love in a boat. Describe all this, what we're looking at here.
So overall is 1510.
There's some
Coast Guard stuff that if you stay under 16 feet, that they make your life a little easier.
Yeah.
So you'll see a lot of boats that are just under 16 feet. And we're about 58 inches wide on the waterline.
Okay.
And about 70 at the oar locks.
Okay. I like that width.
And we tried to keep this boat or this hull of this boat as wide as we could, as far forward and as far aft as possible. I wanted the stability.
Yeah.
I know you guys have been in a boat where somebody catches a fish, we all go to the left side of the boat to look at that fish as it's getting netted, and then somebody goes, oh crap, we're about to take water over the gunwale. I didn't want that, and I've had that in other boats as well. So I wanted something that was super stable. Both front to back and side to side. We added a little extra rocker in the front so we could get up and over some white water.
Yeah.
And unlike other skiffs, we wanted a little bit more freeboard up front so that you can get through more white water. I didn't want to put clients in waders on, you know, May 30th because they were going to get wet.
Taking it over the front.
Yeah. So I wanted to be able to, you know, we know structurally you can run a bunch of stuff. So we wanted to be able to do that with keeping the boat dry as well.
We've got friends. We are at a fly show and there are people constantly walking around us. I think Davis has sold 3 boats since we've started this podcast.
You guys
should be excited about that.
Not better the salesman than me, but pretty close.
And so that so all that width on the bottom not only gives you stability, it gives you the lift that you wanted.
Yeah.
So if you put this boat in the water dry right now, it draws about 3.5 inches.
I was going to ask. That's great.
Yeah, and so if you put three of us in the boat, it'll draw 5.5,
yeah,
somewhere
yeah.
close to 6, loaded down, ready to go fishing.
Maybe 7 with Sam in it.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you know. You never know.
Never
I
know.
Wonder what Big Sam and me, I would call me Little Sam, I guess, next to him, but and that doesn't happen much. My 8 inches with us in
you're Little Sam.
Right, yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to test out. I'm guessing it's still riding pretty high.
Yeah, I would assume so with the wind.
Got a lot of volume.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what shocked us or shocked me. And I can't say that I'm a boat designer or I know that much about hydrodynamics. Although, you know, we've spent way too much time in my household talking about kayak design.
Yeah.
little brother is obsessed with kayak design. So we have talked a lot about that hull design and things like that. I was stunned when we put the first boat in the water. You know, 3.5 inches, something like that, on the tape, and then we loaded up. I think 750 pounds of meat in the boat,
oh, wow.
and then it was 5.5, and I was like, that's crazy that it only went down that far. So,
all this time I thought you were a naval architect. Jeez.
Somebody asked me yesterday if we had had professional engineers. Come in.
They're like, no, we know what we want out of a boat, and we made it.
I totally remember, you know, within a week, we're about to launch the first boat, and we're a week or so away from finishing. And I thought to myself, and may have said it out loud, but I was like, if we don't have the hull right, like, we're quitting. We're done. You know, the fascinating thing about this, and I built a few things, and I built some houses and things like that. There are almost no right angles in the boat, so it's all compound angles. So if
gotcha.
You move one thing, everything changes, and it's maddening.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So this is the design you have now is the first one y'all came out with. It hasn't changed as far as the hull and the shape of the boat. It hasn't gone through different, you know, channels.
Yeah, the hull has stayed the same. Thankfully, we've tweaked some little interior stuff.
Right.
But nothing major. Yeah. It's
I mean, interior designs and stuff you can go in and add and take away, but
yeah.
The hull is the boat, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's been the same. That's good. I mean, I know there's companies that have gone out and tested hulls and like, oh, that doesn't work. Let's throw that one away, cut it up, start all over.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, we definitely didn't think we could afford to do that. But, you know, we passed it around. We were open-minded about it and just like somehow we hit it.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time looking at all the boats out there. And we
have a giant, you know, 16-foot table up in our shop that we pulled every boat out there in that shop and stared at it and talked about it for way too long.
Yeah.
And took measurements and talked about what we liked and didn't like and then just whatever came up with
as
our own.
As any good boat manufacturer should.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, for sure. So
what about the interior here? So that's kind of, you described the length and a little bit about the exterior, but what are our interior options here for somebody? What do we have? I see rod trays. That was intentional. Did you try rod tubes ever?
100% no. You know, rod trays were, you know, not my invention.
Yep.
I don't know exactly who did that first. Maybe Adipose did that first, but brilliant.
Yeah.
And also lends to the structure of our boat. It is the structural part of our sidewalls on our boat. So rod trays are the nicest thing that ever happened to drift boats, probably.
I agree.
You know, quite easy to have 4, 6, or 8 rods in the boat. Nobody can step on them. You can't fall on them.
Yep.
So we love that part. You know, full walk around cockpit.
Yep.
We've got a big storage box. We've got that the rower's sitting on. We've got an alternate storage box that we've just kind of developed for Wes Hodges up in Virginia.
I know Wes well.
Yeah. Yep.
That New River and James River will be a testament for this boat.
Yes. Yeah, those guys have bought a couple of boats, and we really love them. They're fans of ours, and we're fans of theirs. And
awesome.
And so they've got a new model with a rear storage box as well.
Okay. So basically dry storage box in the center and then a rear storage. This boat, Stokes, the box, the bench you're sitting on here is just a pedestal seat, and that's what's in the front of this boat as well.
Correct. So our standard flagship model, the front seat is actually mounted on a cooler on an Orion 35 on Yak Track, so you can pop that seat off. The cooler's just strapped in with a couple NRS straps, and so it's easy to remove the cooler. You have a cooler, and that's inset into the floor a few inches so that it's a comfortable height to sit on.
Okay.
This model that we brought is kind of an option that we developed last year where the front deck is actually completely flat. You have a second pedestal up there, which gives you a big, flat, open space and room for bags or whatever.
Yeah.
And you could put a second dry storage box there as well, kind of the same one that the rower is sitting on. Okay. You could also put that on the front deck.
Very nice.
For that.
And I see kind of a net up front. I'm assuming that's probably where people are putting life jackets and things like that up underneath that front casting brace.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, a lot of us have stored those life jackets in a place that we probably couldn't get to them.
Right.
And I've been admonished by a couple of game wardens of, like, having to undo 9 straps to get to my life jacket.
Right.
He's like, dude, what if you have a problem?
Emergency friendly.
So, yeah, and kind of keeps them dry and not getting all moldy, and felt like a good space for that. And then we've figured out midship drain plugs as well, and that's been something that we're excited about.
Yeah.
And every guy that we know that has them is super excited about. So everybody out there guiding, and even folks that don't guide, you know, you get off the river, you want to spray your boat out, and what you end up doing is going to the car wash, unlocking everything, tipping it back up, washing it out, letting it drain, and then putting it all back together. And with this option, you just open those drain plugs and start spraying and don't remove anything and then drive off.
That was one of those things when you first showed me that first one. I mean, what, over a year ago now, I was like, that's cool. That's awesome right there. Yeah. I love that just because it's you get there to wash it out. It's such a pain. I mean,
yeah, it's a game changer for the everyday guide. You know, that's a kind of a daily or every other day process. And that saves you 30 minutes.
Yeah, and or it'll just leave it in your driveway with the cover off or no cover on it, and it rains and it doesn't fill up with water.
Oh, man, that's what I was going to say. Like, again, you build a boat for guides. We often will forget to pull a drain plug. It rains. February, it freezes. Your anchor rope freezes, whatever. Like, it's a pain the next morning.
Yeah.
Center drain plugs are awesome.
That is.
Yeah, that's a
We've
cool,
all been there.
Cool
it's
feature.
Miserable. What about you got casting braces here? Front and back. One thing I absolutely love about what I'm seeing too is there's a shit ton of cup holders.
Yeah.
Yes. Never enough. You can't never enough, right?
This is a boat that my wife would love because anytime she looks at a car and she's like, how many cup holders are in it? Like, hey, babe, this boat is for you.
We actually were probably a little skimpy at first. We probably were putting three cup holders in, and then it was like, oh, we should just double that.
Might as well put more.
Everybody's got a lot of requests for more cup holders.
You got to have a drink. You got to have your phone and something that's safe. And then we've got an option on the front of the boat to have a double leg brace or single.
Okay.
I'm a big single fan myself, but lots of folks want the double.
Yeah.
So you can have either one in this boat.
Cool. Yep. Very nice. And then this back little deck right here that we have all of our podcast equipment sitting on. Tell me about that.
So it's a back tray that it's easy to put stuff on. It's easy to step up on and get in and out of the boat.
Okay, I was going to ask if you could stand on it.
Yeah, for sure. And it's got an access point so you can get down and remove your – all the boats have rear drain plugs.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can remove those rear drain plugs. And then we've put a little drain plug keeper on that back deck because we've all lost a bunch of drain plugs rolling around in the bilge.
Many.
So that helps you not do that. And then we've got a cool – system that we designed that's a easy in, easy out oar system so we've got some slots built on this back rail to accept all the oars. And then we've got drain holes up in the front end of the boat that the handle of the oar kind of sticks in. So it makes it really easy to grab that oar.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Slide it out, pop it in your oar locks. You're ready to go fishing. And more importantly, when your day's done, you slide that oar out, pop it in the oar keeper, and you're ready to go, and you've not blocked any of your other storage spots by having this sort of traditional go across the seats way.
I've definitely left some stuff in the boxes and then strapped the oars down like, oh my god, I gotta take this whole thing apart. I did it again
15 minutes
on the back deck. Have you had anybody like, hey, I'm gonna put a cooler up there and use it as like a pulling platform or a elevated casting platform? And I say pulling platform because I laugh because I had an adipose, and I built a pulling platform on the back of my adipose to fish for redfish in Charleston because it was the only boat I had. It worked, but
It's a good idea. So I know because I've seen pictures of people standing up there back there. I've seen coolers up there.
Yeah.
It's structural. You can definitely do it.
Yeah, nice.
Call it the dog bed.
Carpet. Yeah. Carp decks. You know.
Yeah.
And this boat, we've got a motor mount on it, so we're rated for a 10. You don't really need a 10, but you know, a 4.5 or 5 works real well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scooting around.
You could easily fit a battery underneath this back piece if you had a little troll motor or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yep. That's right.
Plenty of storage. Where does the anchor rope run through? Like, what does that look like? I see it. Yeah.
So, it's kind of a traditional system that's, you know, running under the floorboard. We've got the option to use the Dirks or the Regal, or folks can have that option, the Dirks foot release or the Regal foot, or the Regal foot release. Same on the back. We're using the Regal and the Dirks anchor arm.
Yeah. These things look solid.
That's nice.
And that release is actually on a separate little plate that's bolted to the floor, so very easy to interchange or maintain, you know, do any kind of maintenance you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no rivets.
Yeah, well, we've seen it in other boats. We've got sort of a double knot fail safe. Where we've got two ways that you could get that anchor release off if you had issues with it.
Okay.
And we've seen other boats where you had to cut it out of the floor because it got bolted and rusted. And
It looks like it's elevated a little bit more underneath, so you don't have as much issue with icing up in the winter, or has that been an issue at all?
I know we went duck hunting the other day and that anchor rope was iced up. We poured a little hot water down the tube and that worked out.
It's easy to fix, obviously.
I think so. But I do think that is an issue. We were just talking to a gentleman from Michigan who asked, could we do a side anchor rope because he doesn't like his anchor rope icing up. And I was like, sure, we can make that work.
Yeah. I've had it happen to me like one time where it was ice all the way up, but it was literally running through the floor. So just the way y'all's is laid out, it looks like it wouldn't be as near as much of an issue as some of the other ones that I've been in. So,
Well, and it's accessible, so you can put some hot water in there, some Pam down there or something like that. It'll keep it from icing up.
And it's not.
So that rope runs directly under straight back from the rowers, release straight back to the back of the boat. It's got a fault. The box that the rower's sitting on has a false floor that rope is running underneath. So anything you put in that box, you're not getting wet or tangled up with your rope.
That's great.
And then runs under the back floorboards and to the back.
And obviously, we don't worry about that a lot in the southeast, frozen up. But, you know, every once in a while.
That's right.
2 weeks ago, we would have been worried.
Yeah, this winter, it's been a thing.
And these are the seats you guys have landed on that you like. It looks comfortable over there.
We love Millennium. I mean, they, it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
It's comfortable to sit in, quick dry.
I'll be shocked if they don't take over the marine world, the traditional or the company that owns the marine world, so to speak. You know, they're hot, they're sticky, they absorb water. So if it rains on Wednesday, your client's butt is wet on Friday. And, so we really enjoyed this. We saw them in a deer stand first and was like, oh, that's super comfortable.
Yeah.
And, breeze well, dries off.
It's tough sometimes in a deer stand because you want to sleep in these for sure. I've got a couple of their deer stands.
Yeah, that's right.
Really quick.
It'll cause that after lunch nap.
Yeah,
it makes a bad day of fishing a little better.
Yeah. I've thought about changing. I have. I'm not going to say what it is, but I have these seats in my raft, like what you see right over there. Thought about changing out for these Millenniums. They look awesome.
I've seen it all over the place. Everybody's kind of retroing, and when they need new seats, it's like, I'm gonna put those other seats.
It's a worthy upgrade.
Orlocks look super sturdy. You guys got those blocked in there. Just everything on this boat looks rock solid.
It really does.
Thank you. Yeah, the lots Orlock of drainage. The Orlock blocks on the interior, so minimal stuff to catch on the outside.
We felt like – I always feel like I can – you know, certainly on a one-on-one basis with somebody that's interested in the boat, I always feel like I can sort of walk you through why I designed what I designed or what we designed. And I think it makes sense and is logical. But the other piece that we're really trying to sell is just durability.
Yeah.
Just a material that is superior to other drift boat materials. And there are, you know, we're sitting across from one of the finest drift boats on the market right here that is beautiful. But this is just a really durable craft. It's going to last.
You said it all. You got a guy that's been in his, how many seasons now has Sam been in his?
Sam bought that boat.
Seven seasons.
This will be his seventh season, I think, 2018.
It needs no work.
No, nothing.
I mean, look, I don't care what drift boat it is out there. Two seasons, God seasons. Some of them are one season, God season, and they're having to get the bottoms redone.
Yeah, needs.
And you're talking about seven God seasons on a river that is rocky and hard.
That's rocky as crap.
I mean, you don't. That's unheard of, a boat lasting that long. That's really being used. Now, a guy that uses it, you know, 5-10 times a year, yeah, he can go seven seasons without getting a bottom redone. But the God boats, like the other boats, are going to be sinking at that point. Like, there's nothing left on the bottom of them.
Yeah, dude, he's got 1,000 days on it. Well, what happened was a friend of ours, a guy from Asheville, called and actually wanted some repair work done on his plastic boat. And I said, sure, we can help you out. And he said, where are y'all having failures? And I was like, I don't think that we are. Or I'm not aware of anywhere we're having failures. And so then it prompted me to call Sam and another guy and say, hey, is anything wrong with your boat? I mean, I kind of think I would have heard from you if there's something was wrong with your boat. And then he's like, no, nothing. I was like, how many days do you think you got on it? And he's like, at least 1,000. So that was encouraging.
That's awesome.
And that was over a year ago at this part, year ago. So,
probably another 1,200 or another 200.
Exactly.
Another 200.
Well, you're saving a lot on the bottom line, not having to do warranty repairs, fellas.
No doubt.
I don't wish for a drought, but we love a good low water year. That gets everybody excited about plastic.
Yeah.
That's where we shine. Yeah, that was part of the mission statement, was a maintenance-free, you know, something that was going to last and you didn't have to put a bunch of work into.
Yeah, there's no wood on it. There's some stainless hardware, some cool aluminum hardware that our friend fabricates for us for the motor mount and the foot brace.
Yeah,
and the rest of it's plastic.
That's awesome. Y'all been doing this now for a while. How many boats are y'all putting out a year now?
So last year, 2024, we built 13, I believe, 13 or 14.
Okay.
This year, I'm hoping to do 16. On track to do about 16 or 17.
Yeah. Nice. That's good. That's a good number. So in total right now, how many of y'all's boats are out there on the water, whether it's guides or just individuals or whatever?
I think the one we're sitting in is number 29.
That's what I was going to say. It's either 29 or 30.
That's awesome. Heck yeah.
Gotcha. This is going to a North Georgia guide that came and demoed our boat a few weeks ago, and I said, well, I'll bring you your boat to the show. We'll show it all weekend. And then
pick it up. Very nice.
So what are you guys doing for trailers?
Oh, what a pain.
Trailers are a pain.
Everybody, we don't know
that.
One
of the hardest parts.
Yeah, we don't know that many people in the boat building world, but everybody we know in the boat building world fusses about trailers. There's a company in South Carolina, Westco Trailers. They've been there since the 40s, and I just went down there at some point after struggling with multiple trailer manufacturers. We're so small. The drift boat industry is so small that none of the bigger guys want to fool with you. It's also a unique trailer. I found out we're the only people in the trailer world that walk around on their trailers.
Yeah.
So having that walk board and having the fit and finish that we wanted is not normal. So I went to these guys, and it's been a process to get a trailer built exactly how we wanted it. So finally we have.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good deal.
And the last thing everybody's going to want to know about this boat I'm looking at right here, what's something like this cost somebody?
So this boat, ready to fish, we do have guide pricing, but the retail price on this boat, ready to fish with a set of Cataract SGG oars and on the trailer, is $17,000.
Nice. That's a great price, man.
I mean, that's right in line with where everybody is right now. That's a fair, fair price.
Handcrafted.
We've got guide pricing as well. We built it for guides. I've been a guide. I was a guide forever, and I want to make sure that those guys have the boats, have the ability to get the boats as much as anybody.
Yeah. Nice. What else, if anything else, do you want people to know about you guys?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we're family business. I've spent my whole career sort of being in the service business, and I know you guys know because you've guided in the past. You know, you can do 100 good trips, and you do one bad trip, and it'll tarnish your reputation.
Absolutely.
So we feel like that's the business we're in with this as well. We want to build a quality product. I think anybody that's had any issues whatsoever knows that we have and will take care of them. And we're in the Southeast. We kind of know what we're building for. So I think that's it. We're not trying to be some giant corporate boat builder. We're a family run boat building business.
How do people get a hold of you guys? How do they look at these boats? How do they get in contact?
We have a great website, BlueRidgeBoatWorks.com. We're on Instagram, also at BlueRidgeBoatWorks.com. Blue Ridge Boatworks. You can find our phone numbers there.
Facebook. We're a mile from the Watauga River. Everybody's welcome to come visit us at the shop as well.
Awesome. Yeah, come see how they're made.
Sounds like you're in there pretty often. If you want to see Stokes, you might have to come to like 10 o'clock or so.
You'll find me there early, and if you want to see Stokes, don't come before 9.
Yeah.
Get off at 4.
I'm the night owl, so I'll probably see you later than that.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Nice, guys. Well, I thank you guys for taking time out of your show. These guys could be trying to sell a boat right now. There's been a ton of people walking around the show, but they chose to spend some time and talk about the boat, and we really, really appreciate it. We love the South. We love Southern boat manufacturers, and I love what you guys are doing. I'm looking forward to rowing one sometime. I need to try one out.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, man.
Really, thanks for having us on. We love what y'all do, and we sure appreciate the time to get us out there a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
Thanks.
We appreciate it.
See ya. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Alan.